Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two professional counselors who like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
This is our therapy.
Join us. Welcome.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2021.
Yes, 2020 did win, and yet here we are.
And we are episode 90.
Yeah. 10 left before the big 100.
I know. We'll have to plan something special.
Something super special.
How was your New Year's?
My New Year's was pretty good, pretty low key. I did actually go to bed by 10 because I'm an old person.
And that was me last year. However, this year, I fucking raged. I was up till like 2:30.
What did you end up doing?
Paul and I stayed the night in the haunted Davenport Hotel downtown,
ooh,
which is the most gorgeous place that I've ever been. And nobody was there because of COVID. So it was really cool. We could just run around the hotel and see all the cool secret places, because there's all these like ballrooms and different areas.
Has a ruckus.
And so at midnight, we sat in the middle of the Hall of Doges, which is very fancy, and had fish and chips and champagne. And it was amazing.
It's quite a combination. Oh, well, that sounds lovely. I gave you the gift of my first kombucha batch today.
Which I'm very excited about it.
I'm very excited too, because if it's good, then I just created, I saved myself a ton of money. And I'm just going to keep pumping it out.
You can keep pumping that kombucha.
I'm going to live forever. Actually, I have to say that, you know, I knew before COVID that germs make you sick. I knew that. But It's amazing how avoiding people has actually, like, I haven't gotten sick since February.
And normally you get sick more often.
Normally I'm sick all the time.
So people are germy.
And I think I just like assumed that no matter what, I'm going to get sick at some point.
Just on your own.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm a little chilled after my bath and I didn't blow dry my hair. I'm probably going to get sick tomorrow. That's the rationale that I used for how sickness worked. I assume, like, yes, don't snot on me. That counts too. But I assume there was some level of self-sickness I would give myself somehow. But like aboriginals, and like if you think about the ones who have never had like a common cold because it was never introduced to them, and then like somebody shows up and then they get wiped out.
And smallpox.
Yeah, exactly.
White people bringing their bullshit once again.
I very much come to terms with just kind of understanding.
People are dirty motherfuckers.
Yeah, I just need to do this more often, I think.
I went to the grocery store, which is like one of the only times I leave the house. And I was getting some yogurt for the kids.
As one does.
Well, I don't like yogurt, but other people like it in the household. And as I was selecting carefully among all the flavors, a woman about 10 feet away from me just started hacking. Hacking. Like, over, it wasn't just a clear your throat or a tickle. It was like, something is wrong with your lungs, hacking. And I just dropped the yogurt and just scrambled. I held my breath. I just like got the fuck out of there.
That's what I do too. I notice myself, I'll hold my breath when I walk past somebody. Like, that's gonna do something.
I mean, it may have been a cough for a non-COVID thing, but I just think in these times, if you have a cough, just stay home. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was with somebody else. Like, that person could have easily gone into the store.
I feel like I get nervous coughs now, though, just like knowing that I'm not supposed to.
Like, you're not supposed to cough.
Yeah, like people are going to judge me profusely if I cough. So just knowing that makes me like,
yes,
like,
I judge people. I know they're judging me. I judge myself.
I feel like I must cough now. And there's nothing psychologically I can do to prevent this. And I don't actually have to cough, but I don't know. I feel compelled.
A compelling cough.
Compelling cough. Just to irritate the folks.
Well, cheers. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year. It's good to see you and reach over to you.
My New Year's resolution last year
was
to like do a lot of things that I hadn't done before.
Yeah.
And I started off so strong in 2020. I went snowshoeing. Mm. I started dance lessons.
I remember that. You talked about it on the podcast.
I started out so fucking strong.
That was so long ago. Like a year.
Fucking COVID comes. And it was like denied.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, I'm going to be a clinical director. And I did that. And then I quit.
And you quit.
But now I have my own business, my own agency. I have my own clinicians. And that's going really great. And
yeah, one door gets closed and others fly open.
Yeah, it's amazing how much I thought I wasn't going to survive. But I did it.
We're resourceful.
And now
we figured out.
Brew kombucha. So there's that. That's now my, skill, apocalypse skill.
That's great. I brew my own hot sauce. Do you even use hot sauce?
I like hot sauce.
Like a lot, like me, like on everything?
I mean, not on everything. I also like bland, white, mushy foods.
Ooh, not me. No, thank you. I put hot sauce on everything. And so I will give you, in turn, a bottle of my magic hot sauce.
I'm so excited. That sounds wonderful. And we found out my kombucha bottles are the same as your hot sauce bottles.
Yeah, so it just seems like a fair trade. Like, this has to happen.
I like it. So you make your own hot sauce?
Yes.
Ooh, did not know this.
It's kind of gets better and better each batch because I use the same, like, the peppers, base. Yeah. I just keep it in there and keep
adding
new stuff.
That's like my kombucha, my little culture. Mm-hmm. It's just going to get more and more cultured.
Yes, we are so cultured.
So cultured.
Yeah, the fermentation game is where it's at.
It's fun.
I just read an article, actually. We've always known probiotics are, like, important, but they scientifically proved that they lead to better mental health and decrease stress.
Wonderful. I'm going to talk about something today that is about decreasing stress and mentalness.
Mentalness.
I mean, improving mentalness.
That's our game.
Yeah. So I don't think what other check-ins? Do you have anything else? Oh, I'm reading a lot. I've finished two books.
Me too. I'm reading two books right now at the same time.
Yeah, I've been reading a ton more and it feels good.
I'm reading that book behind you, Conjure Women. It's so good. And then I'm also reading, okay, I'm a little embarrassed by this, but also not embarrassed, that I have been choosing books off of Reese Witherspoon's reading list. But the guest list that I finished.
You mean Legally Blonde Reese Witherspoon?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. That was one of her picks. I tried it and I actually liked it. So I'm reading a different one that was off of her list called Where the Crawdads Sing. And so far I'm really enjoying it.
Wonderful. So. I'm reading The Hobbit.
Oh.
I'm going to go through the whole Lord of the Rings series.
Yes. The Hobbit is great. I've read that lots of times to the kids when they're little.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'm also relearning Spanish.
Oh, look at this dabbling in life. And I
was relearning French, and then I decided it had really no use. And Spanish is really more useful in this country.
Absolutely.
So I'm relearning Spanish and dropped the relearning of the French. But it's hard because both languages are, like, in my mind, stirring around.
I still want to work with my aunt, who's an interpreter for sign language, but I need to ease off my caseload a bit before I managed to make myself busy again.
That's another language that I would like to relearn because I didn't know it at one time.
So anything else before we dive in?
One more thing.
Okay.
Are you on the TikToks?
I am not on the talk.
So good. Good for you.
Thanks.
I decided I was curious and wanted to see what it was all about, especially when the U.S. government wanted to, like, ban it and everything.
Mm.
And
your inner rebel just couldn't help it.
Well, I'm like, if you tell me no, I want it. So I downloaded the app and opened it up. And, you know, if you're not, like, following anything, it's just, like, whatever, a jumble that comes through your feed. And so the first time I opened it up, I instantly lost 20 minutes of my life doing absolutely fucking nothing, looking at things I was not interested in. And then I closed it.
Every social media.
And I shouted to anybody that was, like, even listening, like, what is the fucking point of this?
What does it even do? I have no idea. I just see, is it like a GIF, but.
It's I mean, you will lose time. So this is why I think the U.S. government wanted it gone. Just scroll up. Is because...
Okay. How?
Sorry, it makes us non-productive as human beings, and they will more easily be able to take over our society. Just keep scrolling up if you get sick of it.
Well, what is she doing? Why is she dancing with a pregnant belly in a
There's
weird way?
There's just all kinds of things, and they're all very short, like a couple seconds to seconds.
I feel this feels really invasive. Like, I don't want to watch this person brushing their hair, or this woman smiling at me, or that person like dancing weirdly, or that baby staring at me. Take it away.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
But like, what's the difference? It's just like a bunch of
short videos of things.
Who cares?
Yeah, I know. But yet still, every time I turn it on, I'm like, oh my God, how long have I been here?
Delete the app. Delete the app.
What happened? What have I been looking at?
Well, maybe my topic will inspire you somehow. Okay, I have to say,
don't do the talks.
Don't do the talks. My topic today had me, as I was researching, I'm like, I'm just a child. And I couldn't stop laughing at myself while I was researching this, because I am apparently just very immature.
Oh my God, me too. So I figure my maturity level is like 11. Like, that's where I kind of stalled out with the Arrested Development.
Yeah, I keep it pretty internal, but I felt embarrassed while looking this up, which is weird, and like anxious about it too.
And is it farts? Because farts are really funny to me.
No, but that's a good one. You know, everybody does it.
They do.
Everybody farts.
Yes.
Some people like farts.
Especially in yoga.
Oh my goodness.
And as an immature yoga teacher, it's really hard to keep my game face when somebody just lets one rip really loud.
And it's just so loud.
It's so loud because it's quiet in yoga. And you're going to hear them, especially when they're not holding back, when they're all loosey-goosey down there.
I had a friend once that we were in a bookstore, and they farted in the bookstore, and it was loud, and it was a quiet bookstore. And then I quickly escaped into a different row of books. Okay, we're like way off.
That's what I did too. But, run away, run away.
All right. So, but it kind of relates in the sense of what's natural. Are you ready for this? Pooping is natural. Yes, you are not wrong. That's not my topic, but you're not wrong. I'm going to talk about nudists.
Oh.
Yeah. About the naked folk.
I love this.
Yeah. So first I wanted to talk about the difference of a couple words here. So there's nudism, which is the practice of going nude, especially in places that allow sexually mixed groups, in the belief that such practice benefits health.
Hmm.
There's naturism, which is a way of life in harmony with nature characterized by the practice of communal nudity with the intention of encouraging self-respect, respect for others, and for the environment. And then there is exhibitionism, which is actually a psychiatric term, a disorder characterized by the DSM about exhibiting genitals in public.
Would that be a flasher?
Yeah, that would be a flasher. So if you look up nudism or naturism, it's not in the DSM-5. There's not a diagnosis attached to that.
Thank God.
What you will find, though, is that that exhibitionism really is about the deliberately trying to expose and shock victims by being suddenly undressed. undressing. That's that robe flash. That? No, actually, no. What do you mean?
Thank you. So I was flashed once as a teenager waiting for the bus.
As a teenager, that's so bad.
It was a guy across the street in the bushes. And
it would have traumatized me.
I looked over there and all of a sudden, all I saw was ween all day.
In the bushes?
Yeah. It was like classic creepy in the bushes guy.
Was he wearing a trench coat?
I don't remember. I just remember just...
Your little child brain blanked out and started
twitching.
Well, I
wasn't a little child. I was a teenager.
Oh.
I mean, I was like 13, 14, whatever, waiting for the bus to go...
God knows what you did by that age.
I was probably smoking a cig. smoking a clove.
You're like, oh, there's another ween.
No, I was like, what's that guy over there in the bushes? And all of a sudden it was like, ween. I was like, oh, God. Luckily, the bus came. So that was one incident. And then another incident. Oh, I've had three.
This is a bad sign.
The other two incidents were, that one was in California. The other two were in Spokane, and they were very similar.
Bad thing come in threes.
So one of them was, we used to have a really jacked up Blazer, like 44-inch tires, like ridic high. And so I was driving it.
Ridic high.
Yeah. And what was great about it was you really could just look down on, you know, the peasants below in their cars.
Oh, I remember. Okay, can I just segue? Yeah. We had a road trip for a roller derby one time, and we were driving, and we were talking about, I was like, do you think that, like, people, I'm always worried in my car that people in higher cars are looking in at me.
Yeah, they are.
And I was expecting you to say something comforting, like, no, they're too busy. Nobody cares about that. And then she's like, yeah, no, I do that all the time. I judge people for what they're doing in their car.
No, I want to see what they're doing. What are you doing down there?
No, I'm always worried. I'm like, can they see? Is it like shoulders down? Is it my waist? Is it like junk in the bottom of my car? Like, what can the people in the truck see?
So this person was in a convertible, dark green, like 80s Jaguar. Below me, I happen to glance down and he's freaking pulling the PUD.
What?
Right there. And I know he knew that I could see him. And I just quickly averted my eyes and like took off. But I think he got whatever he wanted out of that situation. Yeah. And the other one was very similar. It was when I was working downtown, when I had that office on the third floor down there, Howard and Sprague,
yeah,
the high crime corner of Spokane. And it was the same thing. Looked out of my office and all of a sudden someone in a convertible down there.
That's also, isn't that where somebody committed suicide too? And you saw it like from the office window.
Heard, but yes, yeah, saw the whole aftermath.
Yeah.
That was, yes.
That was a pretty hectic little street corner.
There was a lot that went on in that corner, yes.
Yeah, I think my first experience was something that was like really inappropriate. But I had, so it was when I did in-home care. And there was a client who was a chronic masturbator and like just always hand under the sheets and I'd have to change the sheets and they'd be like stiff.
Oh,
yep.
Did they crack?
I mean, they didn't crack, but it was like layers of, you know, you know, it was my job to, you know, gloves on, wash that stuff. And he would like anytime a new person came in, we'd, you know, put him in the room with the door closed.
Stopped touching my boys' sheets years ago.
Yeah, but I think that, but it was like, it was work and, you know, this, it was someone who was, had a, you know, he was mentally disabled, like chronically. Yeah, so I definitely, it's a different kind of feeling.
It's
than
different.
It wasn't intentional against me. Like,
it wasn't like trying to be creepy.
No,
yeah.
No. So I think like different, more of an different bucket. Yeah. So anyways, yeah. So there's that. So that's a disorder and that has nothing to do with nudism or naturism. Okay. Very separate things. Okay, I did find, so I kind of pieced together different parts of this. You know, the big five personality test for psychology?
Yeah.
You know, that the big five. So there's a category for intellect, which apparently is what some researchers call the openness to experience factor. Those higher in intellect or openness to experience were more likely to swear around other people buy organic food.
Oh, damn it.
Kombucha. Create art. Eat spicy foods.
Oh, my God. Am I going to kill somebody?
No, I know. And not follow sports teams closely. Do car maintenance on their own.
I wish. That's my dream.
And to lounge around the house without clothes on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I used to.
Did you?
Until, yeah. But with kids, it's no.
I could see.
I don't anymore.
Like, yeah, that would freak me out a bit.
I used to sleep naked and stuff, but now I'm like, my kids bust in on me at all hours. There's always some kind of crisis.
Yeah, it's just better to be prepared.
I'm just prepared.
Have the pants on, really.
And I know where my shoes are, my socks, you know, I'm ready to run.
You're
out.
Emergency ready. Yes. Yeah. So, on the flip side, this was really interesting that came up in my studies. Did you know that there was a form of psychotherapy called nude psychotherapy?
Oh, ew.
Right? Right. Okay. So I'm going to actually like circle back to that concept. But it started in the 1930s.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah, with psychological studies on the effects of social nudity on the lives of naturists. It developed in the 1960s with an encounter group movement as a way to challenge preconceptions and promote intimacy and trust. So I'm going to dive into one that actually exists now. Still.
Can we go there?
I'm going to read you stuff from their website. I don't know. It sounds kind of exciting.
Is it local?
I watched some videos. No, not local. I watched some videos and I don't know. They convinced the interviewer to end up. She was ended up being nude doing the rest of her interviews the rest of the time. Okay. So let's talk a little bit first about the benefits of being nude.
I've seen people say no
in chat. What no? How do you just say no?
What do you mean no?
Yeah, I need details, context, or else my anxiety goes up of what did I say wrong?
No, just keep talking. Maybe they just are uncomfortable with their own nudity.
Maybe it was like the nudity in therapy part.
Or nudité.
Nudité. okay, so first of all, this article I printed, I actually printed the full photo of the naked woman with a giant palm leaf because it seemed fitting. You have to look at it. Look at me. Look at me.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
So what is that?
It's a naked woman.
Oh, that's from the website.
Holding a palm leaf.
Here's what I don't like is when anything about nudity shows people that look like that.
Those were old answers about the nose. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. See, I panicked. Okay. So benefits of nudity. Spending more time naked, for me at least, is nightmarish for many people. It's nightmarish, particularly those involving giving a speech in front of an entire school without clothes on. Have you ever had that?
No, but I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Have you had?
Do people actually make that up? Is that a real thing?
Have you had that?
No.
I don't know. I just hear that people have that. Who knows if it's real? I'm not.
Is this
in their
like
heads.
A false history that has been planted in our brains?
I feel like it has.
I know the concept of like picture people naked to help reduce your anxiety.
Or in their underwear.
But honestly, I think that'd make me more anxious. I don't want to look at things.
I wouldn't do that because then I'm not focused on what I need to say. Like that would not work for me. I need to focus on just being in the moment and getting into the zone.
Yeah, I'd rather not be like, oh, I can feel better about myself because I'm looking at your naked body. Yeah, I don't know if that logic would have enough time to process. Okay, so various studies have shown how being nude can be good for your physical and mental health, actually. Even more studies have shown that certain items of clothing can have negative health effects. If you aren't convinced bare is the way to be, here are some benefits. Number one, being nude means better sleep. Sleeping in the buff can lead to improved sleep quality. According to the National Sleep Foundation, a drop in temperature can help signal your body to sleep, helping you feel drowsy easier. And disrobing does that.
That's true. I mean, if you're too hot or too cold, you're not going to sleep.
Yep. Improve self-esteem. While you might think looking at yourself naked would hurt your body image, it actually does the opposite. One study published in January of 2018, revealed that people who took part in naturalistic or nudist activities had better body image, self-esteem, and life satisfaction.
What
ratings.
About when you're running, though, nude? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I feel like if I was already like around people that I was comfortable being naked with, then, you know, we're all going to jiggle together. So I'm okay with it.
You know, we have an annual Bear Buns run up north in Spokane.
I actually looked up like what are the nudist things in the United States, and there are a crap ton of nudist things.
Well,
if you wanted to do exclusives.
A local nudist thing post COVID, the Bear Buns run.
So, and actually, that's how I got this topic. Was I saw a random article of what have nudists been up to during COVID?
Ooh, do tell.
Ooh, and I read an article about like. You know, still getting swims in and walking around still in gardens and being part of nature without the social bit. But it is hard on the nudists. They like to be social.
Yeah. I mean, being nude alone is not the same as being nude together.
Yeah, I agree, I guess.
In theory.
Haven't tried it out, but less discomfort. So certain fashions and types of clothes can affect your health, particularly if they are restrictive. Skinny jeans, too tight of belts, can lead to neuralgia paresthetica. Okay, all right.
Pinched, I do not want that.
Pinched nerves is what that means.
I don't like tight clothing, though. I mean, even though I wear clothes at night now to sleep, mm-hmm. I change into like something loose.
Loose. Comfy.
Take the bra off, yeah. You know.
I want some freedom and flexibility.
Well, you want those clothing lines to go away while you sleep? That's always my theory. Yeah. Wear something loose enough so that you wake up with no clothing lines, you know,
yeah.
Those clothing scars.
So, and that's kind of what they're saying, that those indents can cause pain or numbness, like in your thighs from too tight of jeans. Other studies have shown skinny jeans can cause swelling in your feet and ankles.
Thank God skinny jeans are going out.
Yeah, it's not.
Trend not has quite died.
Luckily, nothing's more comfortable than the skin you're in. Spending less time in tight clothes can help avoid all of those issues. Okay, so getting healthier skin by being nude is also a thing. So even super comfortable, so easy to wear yoga pants can hurt your skin.
How?
Wearing tight yoga pants or leggings frequently can prevent your sweat glands from working properly. Over time, it can lead to skin infections and rashes. Tight clothes can even lead to acne in uncomfortable places.
Ew.
Ow. And ew. Wearing your birthday suit has had no bad effects on your skin at all. Being nude can help your skin breathe and work properly, so you can have the proper moisture and overall appearance of your skin will be healthier.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I just am imagining some naked yoga. Just saying.
That's a thing.
I mean,
I don't partake.
But it is
a thing.
Don't doubt that, because the place that I'm going to talk about has like a whole like workshop, and there's like different classes you can go and take for all these different. They even had an ice cream social.
I'm sure they did.
They did. And they said that it can also lead to stronger bones and immune system. This last benefit of being nude is for the truly brave. So getting some sunshine where the sun doesn't shine can increase the levels of vitamin D in your body. So, and that's according to the Harvard School of Public Health. Vitamin D can improve your bone health, strengthen your immune system, and fight cancer. So instead of just getting the sun on your face and maybe your arms, maybe your legs, it's actually whole body vitamin D absorption.
I used to tan in the buff.
Did you? In like a tanner?
No, in the yard.
In the Nike yard.
Yeah.
Were there high fences and shrubbery?
Well, you see my yard. But I tried to pick a spot where it was out of like window view of other people.
Oh, you actually did it in this yard.
Oh, yeah.
You have tall houses around here with windows. I know that somebody saw you.
You can be strategic about where you are in the yard.
I know one house in particular. All right. Okay. So,
but I don't tan anymore. So,
there's that.
Apparently it's bad for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Learned the girl from the 80s.
That's what my mom tells me. She's like, here's good stuff for your skin if you have sun damage. I'm like, do I look like I have sun damage? I look like the bottom of a fish. Like, you can see all my veins. See through. When you get scared, I just go transparent and match my environment. I burn too easy. I just get freckles. There's no point. It hurts. It's all very painful. All right.
See, I don't. I get a very enticing tan.
I could see you getting a nice tan. Like,
no, I get real brown in the summer. I don't do it purposely anymore, but it just happens. And I wear sunscreen.
Yeah. I don't tan.
It's just in my biology.
My biology is like a British middle-aged woman that had some freckles where she burned and her skin fell off. All right. The traumas of going to Silverwood and getting third-degree burns on my shoulders. It's coming up. All right. So this place that I want to tell you about, I'm going to actually share from their website. So this is the Human Awareness Institute.
Mm-hmm. Sounds legit.
And actually is the original one from way back in the day. So The Human Awareness Institute is an organization that offers participatory workshops on intimacy, sex, and love. And it continues to do group sessions in which the participants have the option to be naked. So I was like, So I looked up the website, and it is a legit thing that is still going. So there was a, you know, there's like the About Us button tab. Next to it was naked. So naked. I pressed naked. I don't care about them. Naked, though, says our human bodies are our vessels for life, interacting with the world through all of our senses and with each other through our eyes, words, and touch. Although we come into the world naked, we are quickly taught that we should be covered up. As we grow older, most of us receive messages of shame about our bodies and sexuality and critiques about our physique, leaving us feeling hesitant to follow anyone, hesitant allowing anyone to see us naked, even in appropriately sexual situations. So at, they call it HAI, hi, we honor your choice to be naked or not in every moment.
Oh, hi. Well,
hi. Being naked with others in a safe, non-sexual environment provides a rare opportunity to quiet the negative voice about our bodies and stand simultaneously in our vulnerability and in our power, reclaiming for ourselves our unique beauty and clarity about all the pieces of us that are lovable exactly as we are.
I see a point to this,
I can get that message. Like, honestly, I read it and was like, I get it.
Like, I'm imagining being in the woods with a bunch of people, no clothes. I mean, eventually you're just going to not worry about being naked and just do the things that you need to do to function.
In the videos that like I watched of people, they said like, you know, it's only initially like coming into it that you have that anxiety.
It's exposure therapy.
Yeah. But then once you're around other people who are just talking to you normally and they respect you normally and
like, they look you in the eyes, I think that'll be important.
Yeah. Well, and just like, you know, seeing a breast is the same as seeing an arm. Like, it's just a part of who you are.
It is.
And it, just because someone has a sexual part, and I think this does tie a bit into feminism here, of like, if I show my cleavage, that doesn't mean that you have a right to be like
ogling it.
Yeah, to make it sexual.
Yeah.
The body, the female body or the male body isn't inherently sexual unless you make it sexual.
Well, I think in the U.S. versus other places, like, we are a lot more repressed in this regard.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't just see boobs.
Far fewer naked beaches.
Just out there.
Yeah.
And I remember when I went to France when I was 13, that there was boobs all over the place, just on ads or, you
know.
All
the boobs.
It was just a part of the body. It wasn't considered shameful or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could see boobs at the bus stop.
So they then said, well, why? This nakedness, this bearing of one's insides, this deep looking into eyes, this seeing into hearts of history, this reality, this risk calls into ourselves perhaps like never before. We look into each other's eyes and see the truth of a person. We look into each other's hearts and see all of our humanness and strengths. We look into our deepest history to see beauty and pain. Being naked with others in a safe, non-sexual environment provides a rare opportunity to quiet the negative voice about our bodies and stand simultaneously in our vulnerability and in our power, reclaiming ourselves for our unique beauty and clarity. So then it says, we are naked. We begin to sense that the true freedom of human beingness is outright exposure.
Exposure therapy.
Exposure. Woo, woo. This whole time I'm doing this research, I'm like giggling and like, oh, this would be horrifying. And the cultural shielding of our bodies can become unimportant. So
it does somehow level the playing field.
It does.
I'm interested in that aspect, you know?
Because there's like the, you know, style and money goes into,
yeah,
what
you
wear.
Get rid of all the fashion, all the shoes, and it's just, we're just all
high
naked.
Heels, how we deform our bodies to fit into ideals of society. It's just who you are is who you are, and there's no right or wrong. Yeah, because once you take away the bindings and the restrictions and the what you wear, we all become
the Spanx,
very unique.
The push-ups.
Exactly. Every body is different and everybody becomes okay.
I used to wear a padded bra.
Did you?
Yeah, a long time ago.
That doesn't
anymore.
Surprise me.
Well, I think that was the style, though, at that time.
To the little push.
Yeah, like the push-up padded thingy.
I wish I had less, to be honest.
And now I just, you know, I want to be ready for action at all times. So it's more those kind of bras.
Wait, what's an action bra?
Like a yoga sports bra at all times.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I have to say sports bra is the way to go. I like, you know, if I want to pump out a few jumping jacks.
No, I want to be ready to run in any moment.
Because
I mean, not that I need a bra to run.
If
being, you know, a member of the,
if I do jumping jacks, then I have to committee. Like, I would have to like hold myself and jump. I was a slow bloomer, but once I bloomed, I bloomed. And that's my, I was part of the, what my mom said was the itty bitty titty committee.
No, I'm still a member, but yeah. I like it. It's fine. It's more useful, I think.
Yeah. It was, you know, overnight, all of a sudden I wasn't. And that was that.
I can run. I don't have back pain. So there you go.
I have to constantly like worry about slouching and posture because like the, like I go forward more than I go back.
It's a burden.
Yeah. If I didn't have the butt, I would just fall over.
Yeah. You're proportional, balance. So it's fine.
I'm a weeble and a wobble, but I don't fall over. Is that what that thing is?
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Yeah. That one. Mm-hmm.
I have weebles. Another topic.
Who has weebles?
I do have my childhood weebles still.
Wow, of course you do. I wish I had my like pog collection. Okay, so they go on to say that we take off our clothes. Our hearts may now race at the simple freedom inside the gentle awareness that the truth is present. We find a way to stand in awe of our pure beauty. We honor every choice from bare arms to bare bums. The room becomes a different place, simpler, uncomplicated, and surprisingly free. There are those whose nakedness is unfettered and easy, as well as those who choose to remain covered or clothed, and that's fine too. We honor your choice. At no time is taking off one's clothes demanded. We hold an unwavering and steadfast commitment to individual choice. So I think that's kind of nice for people to see other people be comfortable before they decide if that's something they want to do. Yeah. I could see that being convincing.
I'm wondering, though, do insurance companies pay for that?
I'm going to say no.
Or is it just a cash only kind of deal?
I'm just going to say no. From what I know of insurance companies. Probably not. So clothing optional means, so high emphasizes choice. There's a level one workshop where there's a gentle disrobing exercise that you will have a choice to remove all your clothes, some of your clothing, or keep all your clothes on. Every choice is honored. There's no pressure. Many people do choose to remove their clothing. So you need to be aware that you will see other people naked regardless of what you choose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would be more comfortable with like some kind of competitive game involved in the disrobing. So I felt like maybe
competitiveness would come through.
Like maybe I do want to be naked, but I don't want it to be like entirely my choice. Like maybe I lost something, you know, like didn't get
that
right there.
But what does that mean? That means like you feel like you can't be.
I don't want to just whip them out
100% yourself unless you're forced to.
I think I would like there to be a game involved. A strip poker type
game. I could
game.
See a naked roller derby game happening.
Yeah, where every, you know,
point, I just said the game. Other. That's how long it's been since I've played. It's about.
Every point or whatever, like some clothes come off.
I could see that. Except for, I don't know. I've skated a few scrimmages where there were some scantily...
Scantily clad people on the track. Yes, I've seen those too.
A little more butt cheek in my face than I'd prefer.
I've seen a boob on the track.
I've seen a boob. I've seen a butt. I've seen a like. Wait, do you have underwear on? You know the presence of spandex.
I've seen the yard sales.
Doesn't make me feel comforted, especially if I have to, you know, we're all sweaty and it's like.
Yeah, okay. I've seen people out there. I'm like, ooh, I hope you don't fall. That's all I have to say.
Burn. Yeah. Yeah. The floor burn.
Godspeed.
Yeah. That. Okay. That, you know, I've heard a lot of positives for being naked. I do have to say the negative is, you know, the rash burn.
Rash burn is real.
then it hurts.
And the if you have things that hang, the snagging and pulling.
Yeah, no.
Chafing, if you will.
Back when I was new to roller derby, just like I think many, and when I was like, I'm gonna wear fishnets because those look cool. And then I wore fishnets, and then I literally burned fishnet patterns onto my skin down my whole leg.
Which is known as fishnet burn in the biz.
Yeah, it exists.
I'm going to be too drunk to do my topic.
Oh my gosh. We're going to be lucky if anybody follows us up to this point. It's officially, it has to be us. I don't, like, nothing moved.
No, it has to be
It us. Has to be the cable. I'm shocked. Thank you guys for following us around. This feels...
We are so sorry.
Feels and so bad.
I am so grateful for our listeners and followers.
Just like, nothing is changing. I don't understand. I didn't even touch or bump anything.
We're going to get a new cord.
I'll get a cord. And if it doesn't fix it, then I'll complain to Podbean because I pay money to post my podcast.
That's right. We pay good money. We pay to play.
Yeah.
So Macy thinks it might be a cord.
I don't know. I really don't, but that's the one thing I can't have power over. I'm going to try it.
We really, really, really are thankful for all the people that follow us that have not followed us to this new room, but that's cool.
Yeah. If people don't follow, I'm sorry. It's okay. Whatever. I don't know. I threw my paper down in anger. So we stopped at rash burns.
Fishnet burns.
It kind of feels like that moment when the audio stops is the moment my fishnet butt rubs against the waxed floor for a good 5, you know, feet. Yeah, it's that moment.
I always felt like concrete was the worst to fall on. It's so unforgiving.
Concrete is the worst to fall on because you don't slide.
You don't slide. That's
just
what
impact.
That bruise was from. Concrete.
Your big ass bruise.
I had 3 like those. That's just one of them.
Yeah, my worst one was concrete when we were at that one, the pit, we called it, that the floor had a dip in it. Do you remember I bought the plastic boob inserts?
Yeah, I remember that. The shell.
I still have them. The shell, the turtle shell bra that slid into my bra. And because in this dip with speed, I could not stop it. All of a sudden, I would just eat it and it would be my chest first would hit the ground and knock the wind out of me, and it was awful. I thought I was gonna die, that all my ribs were broken. And then turtle chested it, and I just kind of slid a little bit. Still hurt. All right,
well, nobody's joining us, that's fine.
What do you mean nobody? We have people back. We have Jim Jam's here.
Oh, I have
Sachi P Dog.
I think I'm in the wrong room.
How could you do that nude? Oh gosh.
How do you see who's in the room?
You have to press the little I button.
I.
So Seraphin hasn't joined us back yet, but that's okay. She's here every other time, so she gets a pass.
Okay.
Okay, so I wanted to, like, who invented this thing about about, you know, separating sex from nudity and exploring nudity. So one of their principles was that if you choose to be without your clothing, it is not a prelude to sex nor an invitation for anyone to touch you. And they're, like, very firm about that.
Yeah.
Stan is the name of the man who started this. Of course, it was a man. Just saying. Stan, the man.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Stan was a radio man.
Go Stan.
Sorry, Stan was a popular DJ. Stan, the record man in Chicago. He had at times been the voice of radio programs such as The Shadow and The Lone Ranger. When Stan was in his 20s, he was drafted in the U.S. Army during the Korean War and for a time was stationed in Japan. In Japan, Stan had a life-changing experience of being treated with reverence.
Stan in Japan.
He was the man.
Being the man.
Radio man. With kind of profound honoring, unlike anything he'd ever known. He came away thinking, why don't we all treat each other like this?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. After returning to Chicago as his work as a DJ, Stan became interested in psychology and went back to school and earned his degree. Now, I just want to say they say earned his degree, but they never tell me what degree he earned.
Oh.
I don't know that. I don't know the credibility of what, where, but they said psychology.
Okay.
Okay. He then emerged his interest in radio and psychology by initiating his first psychologically oriented talk show in the 1960s.
Oh my God, it's like an early podcast kind
of. Yeah, yeah. The management at the radio station told Stan he could talk about anything but sex. Of course, Stan knew that was an integral part of a person's life with sexuality. While he understood like the morals of the time, he couldn't leave it out. He had the insight that sexuality is one topic that was really basically enforced ignorance in society. So he decided to offer a workshop on sexuality. These early workshops in Chicago started as lectures, became more interactive and experiential. And he said that really a lot of the experience part came from reverence he learned in Japan that he felt deepened him throughout the years and learned how to build it in a respectful way. So by the mid to late 1970s, his workshop moved to California. In these years,
of course it did.
In these years, they added gentle music behind face stroking exercises. And then
I would not like that.
And then there was an intern program.
Don't touch my face.
Initially for those who wished to learn how to do what Stan was doing, but it quickly evolved into a program of supporting the participants through the workshops. He did pass away, I believe, in 2017. The workshops continue. They do have some funding behind them, but they do continue to have workshops today.
So that's really interesting what you're talking about, just that separation of nudity and sexuality.
Yeah, or, yeah.
Like, I mean, just think about a massage therapist or a doctor. Like, yeah. They see naked people all the time, and it's not sexual at all.
It's not,
all.
Stigmatized as being bad or wrong or sexual.
It's not sexual, yeah. So, I mean, do you think it comes down to, like, certain religions that have kind of made nudity sort of evil in a way? Like, you have to hide your body, like the whole Adam and Eve thing.
Yeah,
like,
I think there's probably part of that.
To hide with a fig leaf.
I think social stigma too, just more kind of more on a, you know, viewing people as vulgar, or like, I think there's been societal lines drawn. Even nudists have been like, if you think nudist, you think hippie, you think commune, you think beaches.
You think People's Park down here.
Yeah, which from the research I did, like actual people who do this would find that really insulting. Because to them, it is an actual like culture and lifestyle that they have chosen to take on. It's not kind of almost in this degrading way that people talk about anybody that cares about anti-capitalism.
Have you ever been to a nude beach?
I haven't. No. I've probably been to a few places that would have had them. But I won't lie, it would have made me uncomfortable. I'm a prude in a lot of ways.
It's okay.
Yeah. But a lot of that stems. And I totally, like, the message they're sending sounds really good because I am a person full of insecurities, like most, and anxieties, and feeling like people judge you all the time.
Wait, were you not at the boob painting party here at my house?
Remember, I wasn't here for the boob painting party. Do you know why? I intentionally didn't go. Because I felt very awkward.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a boob painting party at my house, full disclosure.
And
it was super fun and not sexual.
Because they did like castings and then what, weren't they donated?
No, that was a totally different time.
Oh, that was a different boob party.
This was a party where there was an artist that did really pretty like floral.
This wasn't the time
that
you and I just spray painted our boobs when we were drunk that one time.
No, and that was totally another time. So now that we're discussing it,
time
there's been many.
With the upside down twerking incident.
Yeah, there's been many.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I was there for the drunken spray painting version that took me days to scrub off of my chest when I had to go to work the next day.
I woke up stuck to my sheets.
I had S for L, Spoke Hannibals for Life, across my chest in pink, bright neon pink. Yeah. No, so I did that because I was drunk at the time. Inhibitions were down.
Inhibitions were down.
And Lord. I didn't feel judged. I felt accepted and empowered. I'm pretty sure I posted all those pictures on Facebook while drunk. And then I was instructed the next morning in a panic to take them down immediately.
Take them down, yes. Which I did. Take those down.
Did very quickly. Yes, I wasn't there for the boob casting one. But honestly, it wasn't necessarily about me uncomfortable with the boobage. It made me more uncomfortable to see other people's boobages.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know why, but no.
Yeah.
So I didn't do it. I'm sure I thought I had a reason why not, but.
Well, that's a good topic. I think it's a lot of things to think about.
Yeah, very thoughtful.
It's very like, what's up with society?
What up, society? Maybe being naked, and there are some health benefits. Maybe just cruise around your house with the shades drawn, or keep them open. Actually, that could be exhibitionism if people don't want to see it.
There's always been that question, like, if you're naked in your own house, but people can see you through the windows, like, is that a problem?
Yes, I've heard this. It is a problem if you know someone else could be seeing it who wouldn't be a willing participant.
I feel like if I'm in my house, that's their problem, you know?
But like if you have the windows drawn and you're on a busy street and everybody sees you naked.
I feel like I'm in my house. It's my domain.
This is my window. You know, if a naked mannequin can sit in a wall front with her fake boobies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, back in the day, I used to walk around naked in my house all the time. Not anymore because, you know, the giant man-child situation I have going on.
I'm a, like, run around in my underwear as I'm trying to find laundry and clean clothes kind of person. But I do. I, like, run and I'll, like, hide between this place. And then I sprint and then I hide between this place. Quick, close the windows.
It's not that I want people to see me naked. It's just, like, sometimes I'm just doing my thing and I don't think about it, and yeah. It's not anybody's business what I do in my own home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's like,
but if a child walked by with their parent and the child saw you,
well,
would
they
you
should
be
not be walking, first of all.
How dare they?
How dare they? I will put out signs if I need to. Do not walk by my house. Do not let your dog poop on my lawn and I'll clean it up.
My house is kind of like up on a hill too. Like it'd be really, they'd really have to be at my door to see anything. But the amount of paranoia that I have, so I have to tell you though, like I won't even check if somebody rings the doorbell. I won't go answer the door. I go run to the bedroom and I peek out my window to spy on them first. And then I don't answer. And then I run to the living room one and then I wait until they leave. And then I see what they leave or don't leave. That's how I deal with people at my door because nobody needs to come to my door that I don't know. That's what I've decided in life.
That's a valid decision.
If you want to give me something, leave it at the doorstep and walk away.
I've done that before at your house.
You've left me something and walked away.
I have led things at your house.
Yeah. It freaks me out. I don't like having the interaction. I've been trying to do better. Like I wait until they're like halfway down and they like the FedEx guy. And then I open the door and I say, thank you. I close the door and run back inside.
Oh my God. Do you want to know what I'm going to talk about?
I do. Let's do this. I have to tell you how pissed off I am that I have to like glue all this shit together again.
Well, I think we've decided though it's our fault. And not Podbean.
That doesn't make me feel better. Podbean. I won't blame Podbean. I'm just upset because now I have to fix it and it takes me a while.
I'm sorry. I'll come to your house and leave something on your porch.
I like porch presents.
Here's my question.
All right.
Are you ticklish?
I'm actually very not ticklish unless I'm in the mood to be ticklish.
Oh, so you have a choice, a tickle choice.
Yeah, it's like if I feel uncomfortable, I'm ticklish, but it's kind of almost like a squirming, like don't touch me and get away sort of moment. Mm. And I'm laughing in a lot of uncomfortableness that I really wanted to stop. Other than that, though, like my feet aren't ticklish. You could come and just tickle my sides and I wouldn't be ticklish unless I felt really uncomfortable and then I might get ticklish.
I'm really ticklish, especially the middles of my feet. Like when I used to get pedicures, like I had to do like deep breathing as if I'm having a baby exercises while they like did the scrubbing thing.
I have one spot in my body that is like legit ticklish that I can't handle. And maybe it's other people have this, maybe not. But, you know, like right in that is the spot that derby really tightens up, that underbutt spot under your butt cheek.
Oh,
that
little, yeah.
That spot, like, it's like ridiculously ticklish. That is a spot I can't control.
So common ticklish areas are stomach, your sides, like here, armpits.
That's just like, don't touch my sweaty parts.
Feet and neck. I know.
Neck? That... Neck is just weird.
Neck. Like, so if you like laugh when someone touches like a sensitive area of your body, you're ticklish. Some people are so ticklish, they laugh or like cringe even when someone's pretending they're going to tickle them and don't actually touch them. And that's me. Like, if I get in the tickle zone, I'm going to already start laughing.
I love tickling people. Like, I love, I remember my dad would always do the counting the rib thing. Like, and you count like one, two, and you keep going. And then you just,
Yeah, there's, when I was researching for this, and I didn't have this as part of my, what I was going to say, but there's like all these websites on tickle games for parents and kids.
Oh.
Yeah, but after you listen to this, you'll think about that in a different light.
Well, shit. Thank you for ruining another thing. I'm glad I got to start off with, we're both talking about the body, which is interesting.
I know.
Exactly. And the physicalness of the body.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for about ready to ruining things for me.
So some people aren't ticklish. I've always thought that was weird. And didn't believe people that said they weren't ticklish. I always felt like, well, they're just controlling it. Like, they really are ticklish, but they don't want to let on.
No, like, if you do this to me, like, I would just sit there and I wouldn't. It honestly, I don't feel the sensation.
So.
Just feels like if you're doing that on, like, my arm.
Have you ever tried tickling yourself?
Yeah, that doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, scientists have researched this, and they say it's because when you tickle yourself, you can anticipate what's going to happen. And part of the tickle experience is that it's unpredictable and you have a loss of control over it. You're pointing at me a lot vigorously. What's happening?
It's because this, okay. So with my specialty in OCD, one of the things I talk with people about is anticipating having the thoughts, because when you anticipate having the OCD thoughts, it actually reduces the impact of the thoughts when you have them. So when you know it's coming, but you accept that, and then you know how to handle that, it actually reduces it over time. But anticipating it and then trying, like, I don't want that to happen, or that kind of thinking of like, I'm going to try not to have that happen, or it's something that you don't want, it's going to increase your anxiety and distress.
Yeah, it makes you very distressed. So here's the secret. If you want to be able to trick your brain, is if you
tell me all the secrets.
If you put your hands on top of the person that's tickling you, then your brain is better able to predict the sensations and the tickle response is suppressed.
Are you going to tickle me?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because after I did this research,
I need to anticipate that.
I never want to tickle anyone again. To tell you the truth.
Oh my gosh. I really don't like what you're about ready to tell me.
This is the Deeply Disturbing Things podcast. So tickling for many people is like, I fucking hate it. And I have to say, I hate being tickled, like truly tickled. I don't like it. It feels like a loss of control. And it's like,
get the fuck off bad me moment.
Bears. Yes. Like, don't fucking tickle me. Like, I hate it. I hate it. And like even like putting my arms up like this where my armpits are exposed, like that.
Both of our arms are up in the air. It makes me feel
uncomfortable.
It's like a roller coaster. You put your arms up and it's just, I'm gonna die.
Like, I feel like somebody could just come and tickle my armpits and I don't want them to.
I'm gonna tickle you.
So the science behind that, if other people feel the same way as I do, is because the area of the brain that gets fired when you're tickled is actually the same as your fight-flight response.
I was going to say, it must be the amygdala.
Yeah, hypothalamus.
Hypothalamus, yeah. And amygdala, so yeah.
It's unbearable. But then why do we laugh?
So well, that's a defense mechanism.
It's not because you're having fun. It's an autonomic emotional response. And they've studied the body movements of people being tickled, and it's the same as those in severe pain.
Yes.
Like the facial reactions, the body responses, it's the same.
It's like a cringing, yes, like, yes, and you go yes. like fetal position. Yeah, that makes sense. It's all a trauma response. And you are traumatizing people you tickle.
Yes.
Wow.
And then the brain, the pain and touch nerve receptors.
And they usually go stop.
Yes, exactly.
This is not consent, people, to tickle.
That's right. So that laughing is misconstrued by the tickler as somebody's having fun and enjoying it. And they're actually
miserable and hate your guts
and actively in a stress response.
So stop it.
Fucking stop. Unless you like it, which I'll get into in a minute.
Okay.
So there are two types of tickling, and here are two words I have never heard of in my life. Gargalesis. Are you okay?
Yeah. I just wasn't expecting it.
I know. It's
gargalesis?
Gargalesis is tickling that causes laughter when someone touches your ticklish areas repeatedly. This is the kind that cannot be self-induced. You can't do it to yourself. So this is that like actual where you're tickled and you're like laughing.
You're like,
it.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. So that's like the more intense kind. But there's also kinesmesis. I don't know if that's
I'm sorry,
how you pronounce
master's
it.
Level counselor across the table. What was that again?
I'm going to say kinesmesis.
I'm going to say that's probably that. Right. I have a PhD, so if I say so, it just is, I think. That's how that works.
You know.
K-I-N, you know.
And a bunch of letters. This is the tickling that's caused by light motion on your skin, but doesn't bring on laughter. This can be toxic. So you can like
do do that for myself. Like I like it on my arms sometimes.
Tickle your neck or your under, like right here. I'm very sensitive, like on my under of my topper arm.
Have you ever played the game?
Anatomy.
Have you ever played the game where you have the person close their eyes and then we're going to do this later just so you know, I'm going to make you do this. Okay, so close your eyes and then you do little zigzags on their wrist all the way up. And the person who is feeling it, so you wouldn't be drawing, the other person draws. You have to say when they get to the cross, you know, the bendy part in your elbow. That soft part. And you try to trick them. So you like lift up and maybe go back a little bit and you make it really confusing. They have to guess when you're there. And it's really deceptive because the feeling here is very different. Anyways, that's a thing that happened probably in grade school that I felt like everyone should know, I guess.
Kinesmesis.
Do you need another
kinesmesis?
Christmas?
Kinesmesis may not be associated with tickling because it's usually irritating or pleasurable. So you might not think of it as like tickling. You might think of it like tickly, but not tickling.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do this sometimes almost like when I'm in bed. I'll just kind of trace my fingers on my arms because it feels like soothing.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. I'm going to get into that in a minute.
Would you like another drink?
Yes. Yeah, so if you go on the bottom shelf.
I have a hard time in your fridge. There's not much stuff in there, but I find it surprisingly
it's a very
complicated.
Small fridge. It's the smallest one they sell that's a full-size fridge.
I can never find
Yet
things.
You get lost.
Everything's behind everything.
I think where you want to go is bottom shelf box.
I'm screwed. Wait.
Bottom shelf white box, I think, is where you
want
to go.
Is the what I want in the white box? Or is it around
Actually,
the white
I
box?
Actually, I think I took it out of the white box. Middle shelf
See, you
back
asked.
Left.
Oh my God.
Middle cans.
Middle shelf.
I believe in
back
you.
Back left.
Yes.
White okay. cans. All right. Entertain the folk. I'll be back.
I'm going to entertain the fuck out of the folk. Oh, this is the part Macy was just talking about. Okay. Macy, you're going to miss the best part. Tickling an autonomous sensory meridian response or ASMR. So this is a term used to describe certain physical sensations that are described in such as tingling, tickling, or the chills. And I know there was an Office episode where Dwight gave Michael the chills. So these might be felt in the scalp or down the back or back of the arms. And these happen because of getting physical, visual, or audible stimuli. You brought back two different things.
You have an Arizona sweet tea.
Oh my God.
And a cider.
Oh my God. Gave you wrong directions.
She, ow.
Jesus.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry for the squeak. Yes, I was pointed in the wrong direction of a Arizona sweet tea.
This is what I was talking about.
Oh yeah, some spiced tea. Whatever it is.
I'm sorry.
Spiced peach tea.
Next time I'll make you a map.
Okay, so I went exactly where you told me to go.
This is just what you were talking about. So okay. This is the autonomous sensory meridian response, ASMR. And this is like that good tingling, tickling, chill feeling that you might feel. You're talking about like how it might feel like kind of self-soothing. I like it on like the bottom of my upper arm. And this gives you a sense of peace, calm, euphoria, and well-being. And this could come from things like whispering.
Whisper. That makes me think of, oh gosh, what's it called? Where you do noise-based sensory, gosh, what is it called? Future topic, but future where topic. Certain noises, so like maybe the bristles of a brush.
Yes.
These different noises that are really like they create an audible type of sensation. Yes.
So this sensation can come with audible stimuli, visual stimuli, or physical stimuli. But I can actually feel this from like mental thought stimuli too. Like if I think certain thoughts,
or if you hear a good song, I'll get the feeling. And you get that moment, or like something moving happens in a movie, and you're like, or a speech.
They say it can also come from personal attention.
AMR, ASMR. That's what I was thinking.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, okay, yeah.
It can come from crisp sounds.
A low grade euphoria.
Crisp sounds. I'm thinking the snapping of a cucumber.
And that's what, okay, so we could even do it now. So it's things like changing the tone to sound in very distinct ways or creating.
I wish I had a cucumber to snap.
I don't have anything else. Dang it, I don't have anything.
It can be created by slow movements as well.
I know voices are used a lot in ASMR.
I get it more from my own cognitive processes, I think, or physical than the audible or visual.
Maybe like crinkle paper. That's horrible.
Stop. Why don't you just scratch a fucking chalkboard?
I'm not a professional ASMR, okay? There are YouTube channels though that if you're interested, I've actually have watched one, very intrigued, and it was with a bristle, and she was a brush bristle.
Yeah.
And she was talking in that very slow, like enunciated way. And it was soothing as fuck.
So there's this ASMR.
ASMR, yes.
And it may temporarily relieve depression and chronic pain. And there's also a link to...
Do you have a hairbrush in there?
ASMR and synesthesia. Don't try to steal my DNA and clone me.
Yeah. One's enough.
So this is where senses cross. And I shared a little bit about when I used to take LSD back in the teen days, how my senses always crossed and I could like taste colors. And, you know, it was really interesting and part of the fascinating experiences of psychedelic drugs. Are you going to do a brush thing?
Yeah.
Okay, do it.
All right.
It feels very, sounds crunchy. Does anyone feel pleasure? It sounds, it's so weird. That's how my brush sounds.
The brush is making noises. I'm not an AAS. There are actually like legit people who do this way better than me. I'm sorry I put my hands all over your hairbrush.
No, it's fine. So autonomic sensory meridian responses, this is like pleasurable experiences. And they can come from whispering, personal attention, crisp sounds, slow movements. I experience it myself when thinking certain cognitive thoughts that bring pleasure.
Jim Jam hates ASMR. Sorry.
Oh my God, Jim Jam, stick with us. I'm done with that. I'm going on to deep, dark things right now. Here we go. We're going to get dark. Tickle torture. Why are you laughing? This is bad.
I'm sure.
Don't laugh. This is the use of tickling to abuse, dominate, harass, humiliate, or interrogate somebody.
Well, when you put it that way, it sounds far more serious.
It's very serious. Yeah. So laughter, you know, you think about that as being pleasurable, but as we discussed, in this case, it's actually a fight-flight response happening. And so when somebody's being tickle tortured, they may laugh even though they do not find the experience pleasant. And this is actually a panic reflex that we're seeing rather than a pleasure response.
Which if you think what the brain's doing in that moment, it's going into self-protection mode. I kind of view this as, you know, what do babies do to survive? Babies look cute. Babies giggle, babies smile, and then the parents don't kill them for being obnoxious little babies.
And pooping everywhere.
So if you giggle, maybe it'll stop.
Tickle torture may be a consensual activity, or it might be one that is forced, depending on the circumstances. In a consensual form, it might be like an intimate activity between people. However, forced tickle torture can cause real physical and mental distress in somebody, which is why it has been used as an interrogation method or to just exert dominance over somebody. So here are some historical examples of non-consensual tickle torture in history. Chinese tickle torture, or maybe I should say ancient Chinese tickle torture, which I can say because I'm half Asian and it's okay. This is an ancient form of torture practiced by the Chinese, in particularly the courts of the Han Dynasty. And here, this was reserved as a punishment for nobility because it left no marks and a victim could recover relatively easily and quickly.
So it's like the lesser sentence to the soap in a sock sort of.
Yes, because it didn't really, you know, there was no, it's not like whipping somebody or something like that. In an article in the British Medical Journal about European tortures, it describes a method of tickle torture in which a goat was compelled to lick the victim's feet because they had been dipped in salt water.
No. I mean, number one, a goat? No. Number two, licking me? I don't think so. My cat licks my eye.
What if you were tied down and the goat was licking your salt water covered feet?
I would kick it in its little goat face.
Would you pull its little goat beard?
Yes, I've had goats, and if it's a male goat, they're dicks, and they're mean, and they don't give a shit anyways, and I would kick it in the face, because then it would probably try to ram me anyways, and it'd do the, like, where it sticks its tongue out, and it'd probably try to pee on me. Goat barn champion. I know goats.
There's a book called Sibling Abuse, and in this book, the author researched 150 adults who were abused by their siblings during childhood, and several reported tickling as a type of physical abuse they experienced. And based on those reports, it was revealed that abusive tickling is capable of provoking extreme physiological reactions in the victim, such as vomiting, peeing yourself, and losing consciousness due to inability to breathe. Did you ever tickle or become tickled by your siblings?
No one dared to touch me.
Okay. I didn't have this in mind. My sister was much younger, and so I tortured her in other ways.
Yeah, I was the only child that would go to visit my siblings. So, I mean, yeah, tickling wasn't in our, yeah, there were other things, definitely not that. We had the like, oh, you guys are throwing rocks at each other. I'll be over here while you guys throw rocks at each other. Or the like, stop touching me, and then biting each other or fingernails. Much more gruesome acts, really.
I did make my sister eat grass. I'm sorry. She did throw up after.
I'm going to share one of my father's secrets because I'm pretty sure he's not listening anymore because he's in a different time zone. So he has before, and I don't know, my aunt may be part of this. I'm going to say this on there about shoving certain berries up siblings' noses. Heard that was a thing.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
So there was a 1903 article that described another incident of tickle torture. There was a patient who was suicidal that was tied down at Hudson River State Hospital. And while he lay there, one of the hospital attendants tickled his feet. And the quote is, Sanders is said to have confessed that while intoxicated, he amused himself by tickling the feet and ribs of Hayes and pulling his nose.
Rude.
So rude.
So rude. I mean, I think if someone tickled me, I'd be like, meh, doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't really bother me. But the big thing that bothers me is somebody put something over, like a blanket. Like,
but siblings. What if you were tied down and tickled?
I mean, I don't think I'd feel ticklish. Like, I don't feel that.
Oh my God, you're one of those people. You're not that ticklish.
I'm not.
See, I would fucking die. I would just die eventually. I would just be dead.
I would be like, can you please stop touching me?
No, I would scream. I'd be have snot coming out of my nose. I'd be begging. It would be so ugly. I would die an ugly, tickled death.
But it'd be, yeah, no, to me, like, my weakness would be, like, how kids and kitten, that's what I remember siblings doing, is putting blankets over you and then, like, pinning you down. Like, that claustrophobia would kick in, and I was, you know, I'll punch you in the face. I will do whatever it takes to get out from underneath that.
I was the big sister, thank goodness.
Oh.
So I had the power. I can't imagine it being the other way. I would not have liked it. Another incident of tickle torture. Joseph Cahoot was a person that was persecuted in the Flossenbürg concentration camp during World War II. And this was talked about in a book called The Men with the Pink Triangle. So this was about the Nazis' persecution of gay individuals. And so this is the quote. The first game that the SS sergeant and his men played was to tickle their victim with goose feathers on the soles of his feet, between his legs, in the armpits, and on the other parts of his naked body. At first, the prisoner forced himself to keep silent while his eyes twitched in fear and torment from one SS man to the other. Then he could not restrain himself, and finally he broke out in high-pitched laughter that very soon turned into a cry of pain.
That's horrible. So with my topic today about the benefits of like nudism and how that... But basically their whole thing was you do not touch without consent, and that it is not an invitation to touch.
Yeah, that's all non-consensual.
Yeah.
And when it's non-consensual and you're tied down,
it's a torture.
And you're ticklish, it's absolutely torture.
And that's what people say, like, oh, tickling is torture. And I think people brush it off, but it sounds like it really does have some legitimacy.
No, it absolutely does.
Torture. If the Nazis used it, I think that's fair to say.
Yes. And the Nazis
are the worst of them.
No torture. So let's turn the page a little.
Okay.
Tickling fetishes.
Are we going into some 50 Shades of Grey stuff here?
I never saw the movie or read the book.
Me neither.
But that was non-consensual, so I thought I'd touch on consensual tickling.
Okay.
So this is called, another word I'm not sure I'm pronouncing right, kynismolagnia.
I'm going to guess not, but keep going.
This is the fetish where people get turned on by the sensation of being tickled or tickling others or watching someone get tickled. So it could be any of those. You don't have to be experiencing it. You could be watching it, like maybe watching a video, like a tickle porn, perhaps.
Is that on Pornhub? Sure.
I'm sure it is. So kynismolagnia comes from kynismesis, and this is a term for that light tickling that I talked about. This is like the pleasurable kind where it doesn't like give you that forced laughter experience. And then that heavy tickling, again, just review for those of you taking notes, is that gargalesis. So there's two different kinds of tickling. There's the light and there's the heavy. One you can self-induce, one you cannot. So in a fetish context, kynismolagnia, it might be part of foreplay, or it might be the entire act. And you don't even have to involve nudity or overt sexual activity. So this is a tie into Macy's topic again. Some people may get pleasure that includes orgasm from tickling alone. And people can be turned on by being tickled. You might be the one that's doing the tickling, or you just like watching others getting tickled. So here's a fun fact. In the Urban Dictionary, an armpit-specific tickle is called a doohini. And armpit fetishes, in general, are known as moschalognia or moschalognia. And my armpits are very ticklish. And I do not like it. I feel like it's a big trust violation. If I have my arms up, like say I'm just chilling on the bed, my arms up, if someone tickles me, I fucking want to punch people. I hate that.
I hate to say, but I'd probably be the one to tickle you.
You're abusive.
I get some like sick joy out of, and I think it's because I'm not ticklish that it's almost like this power thing of like,
well, it is a power thing.
Because then they flip it and they're like, well, I'll tickle you. And I'm like, do it.
I hate you so much right now. And I'm never going to expose my armpits.
I mean, it's not like I'm like, armpit. And then I feel I have to tickle. It's just, you know, I like to know that the option's there.
Let's explore a little bit more about and tickle fetish.
My ticklish spot is a little more awkward than your armpit.
I'm not going to tickle your taint if that's what you're talking about.
What? No, I said it's the line where the butt cheek meets thigh, yeah. That part.
What do they call that?
I don't know.
That's a name, I think. Maybe it doesn't.
My thigh part? The connector. I always call it the connector part because that's always a part in Derby. I'm like, connector part hurts.
Connector part.
The part that connects my butt to my leg hurts.
So modern tickle fetishes, they might use fingers or they might use feathers. Or vibrators.
I feel like I wouldn't even feel a feather.
They might use electric toothbrushes. They might use, there's like a thing in sewing that's kind of a wheel you can like go back and forth across people. But it's not sharp. It like has rounded like edges.
Like a tattoo machine.
It's kind of like a pizza cutter, but like without sharp edges and smaller.
Okay.
With like spokes.
Oh.
You can also use insects. Arachnids.
That would freak me the fuck out. Are you kidding me? Like,
or snails.
I mean, I don't know why it's funny, but I wouldn't like it. I'm gonna put snails on you one day.
No, don't put a snail on me.
One day we're gonna go on an outing together it was probably going to be the first time I make you fly with me. And then you're going to sleep in a hotel and you're going to wake up and there's going to be snails
all over you. I'm not scared of snails itself, but if I'm tied up and like scales or snails are like cursing their way, their slimy way across their body, my body, I don't think I'd like that.
Yeah, no, there'll be many.
So tickling falls somewhere between pleasure and pain. And so this makes it really ideal for sex play, you know, because it can really span that range between just being like a little playful,
being like enticing,
or being more hardcore, you know.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Hardcore sex tickling. Exactly. I'm going to tickle you. I can't make that sound tough. I'm sorry.
So I decided to Google tickle porn on Google.
Oh, you?
I didn't click on
conscious
things.
Decision. Actually,
but I just put it in the search bar.
I was watching Rick and Morty earlier, one of my favorite shows, and Dan Harmon, by the way, used to have a podcast. I'm sad it's gone now, but they talk about that a little bit about. Should you create a Pornhub account? And the answer is probably, because it'll tailor what you like and give you more videos that you like.
Just like Google.
Yeah.
It tailors your searches to your shopping interests.
I don't
interests.
Think there's anything wrong with that.
So yeah. I Googled this today and 53,600,000 hits came up. Just today, just Googling tickle porn. Mm. So peruse at your leisure.
Is that one word or two?
Peruse. Okay, look at that picture. What do you say?
Oh, God. I see a woman that's tied down.
Those are all men.
That's okay. I made an assumption. Young that's men. A man. I can't see his face. So tied down. He has very feminine legs. I'll just say that. And the two on top are very feminine legged as well. And they're sitting like squatting on him.
So this is an image taken from the 2016 documentary called Tickled. I watched this a while back with Paul.
I've watched this too. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I watched it like probably a year after it came out. And I guess I should say that we're just making gender assumptions on their images. But
I made that documentary
was fucking weird. And
yes.
It wasn't even about tickling. It turned out to be this like...
That was so like long
expose
ago.
About this like creepy old rich guy that like loved tickling and just funded all this tickling.
He put
stuff.
A bunch of money into it.
Yeah, so he funded all these videos and he was like addicted. So if you
I do think it's a power trip for the other person for sure.
Well, I don't think that. I mean, I think the documentary wasn't actually about tickling. I think it was about this dude, but it's a good documentary. I really, really, really Googled, has anybody died by being tickled?
I would love to see your
I mean, Google I Googled search it. List. I Googled it real hard.
It's okay. The amount of searches I did today on nudists.
I wanted to know.
I got a lot.
Has there been any incidents? And I could not find any. Of anybody actually dying by tickling. But what medical experts say is you can die by secondary things.
Like a heart attack from being tickled or something?
You can die of laughing so much that it gives you a heart attack.
Everything is good in moderation.
It gives you asphyxia. Or even brain aneurysms.
This is true. I've laughed so hard, maybe in our Barney episode, where I could not breathe.
Yeah. So you can have things that come up because of loss of control of your body, inability to regulate breathing, and, you know, have things like that come on, depending on the intensity and duration of the torture. So. I thought I'd end with this. This is a video of a Tickle Me Elmo whose fur has been taken off.
Oh my god, that's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Why is his fur off? Wait. Oh my god. Can I see the picture?
Here. Look it up close. So when Tickle Me Elmo came out, it was the year before my older son Skylar was born. And it was the toy of the year.
Torture Me Elmo. Oh, thanks, Paul.
And so this video just came out a few years ago, and they took all the fur off to see the robotics underneath, and they were tickling the thing. And his eyes terrifying. Are doing freaky.
That's terrifying. I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
I'll post it on our Facebook group if you're part of our Facebook group.
If you're not, please join us on Daily Disturbing Things. Why not? We post other things that we don't talk about and some things that we do talk about and other things that don't really matter.
Exactly.
Because we want to.
So that's tickling.
Cool. Well, until next time, enjoy the skin you're in.
Until next time, death to the tickle monster.